been murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. Well, that game ended the way a lot of people thought it would, but man, I don't think anybody expected overtime or for the Caps to take the Chiefs to town the way they did. But joining me, as always, to talk all about it, my buddy Josh. What's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing good. I think you cross up your sports.
Did I?
I think you said Caps took the Chiefs.
Did I?
Yes, you did.
Oh my!
I like to hit the rewind button on that. I'm going to say Brandon was right. I thought I heard that right.
Oh man! All right. Well, yeah.
Tuesday wonders.
I'm working too many late hours. My brain's all fried. So the Ravens took on the Chiefs, and then they did what they did.
Maybe they would have won.
I would love to see what would happen for a hockey team to take on a football team. I would be hilarious. And do they use ice? Do they use the field? I don't know. That's something else for us to talk about.
A UFC fighter took on a boxer, and it was a good fight.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. So let's talk a little bit about this Ravens and Chiefs game. So Lamar Jackson got his first loss as the starting QB. And what did you think of Lamar's performance? You know, a lot of people were saying he went up against some pretty bad defenses. This was going to be his first real test on the road. Like we even said, Atlanta was more of like a Ravens town because there weren't so many Falcon fans. There were a lot of Ravens fans there. This really was his first time in full-on enemy territory. How do you think Lamar did against the Chiefs?
I think he did rather well. And in my take, I was happy with the poise he showed. Looking overall picture, I felt like the rookie handled the road, man. Arrowhead Stadium on the road in December with a meaningful playoff-like atmosphere, I felt like Lamar sort of grew up in his fourth game. Obviously, he's got a lot of work to do. I'm not sitting here saying he's the greatest quarterback that the Ravens have had right now. I mean, obviously, we still got Joe. And don't get me wrong. I mean, there are still a lot of glaring things about Lamar that we can sit here and we can don't like about him. But one thing's for certain, I did see him stand tall in the pocket. He made some throws down the field. He didn't throw but one, but two touchdowns was the most touchdowns he's thrown in a game, multiple touchdowns. He didn't even rush a touchdown, so you got to give him credit for that. Both touchdowns were in the air. He moved the chains a lot in the air, and I felt like it was an efficiently run offense. He didn't make that mistake that Mahomes did. Mahomes got to throw that first interception. So Lamar, you got to give him credit, man. And I don't know, who you really want to give the loss to. I mean, there's plenty of ways to slice and dice this, and you can even throw in the refs' bad calls on this one. But you have to – I mean, dude, you had this team on the ropes, on the road, and it just wasn't meant to be. But no, I really think if this was a playoff game, and let's say if this was the playoffs and we'd have lost this one, everybody keeps talking about moral victories. And I don't know how you feel, man. I definitely want to hear your take. But I hear a lot of people are saying, well, enough about moral victories. What matters is the win and loss, and they lost the game. But I'm telling you, I looked at the moral victory and said, hey, I expected a loss, which they didn't they lose, right? So we, me and you, both expected to lose. A lot of people, including I was so sketchy, I thought they're going to get blown out. I'm like, oh, they're not going to cover these guys. Even without Kareem Hunt, they're going to get creamed. And you telling me that they basically were within one score the whole day, and they were within one score at halftime, and they were up by seven late fourth quarter. And hey, you got to give the Ravens credit, man. They stuck it out, and they basically lost in overtime in the last minute. So, Lamar, he's got some growing up to do. The offense has some work to do, but as overall, this loss isn't that detrimental to the plans here and trying to make the playoffs. But, dude, yeah, Lamar, he balled out, man.
Yeah, this game, I think we both agreed this was going to be a loss, but I was guessing it was going to be like 35-17 Chiefs. So, I mean, to see the Ravens take it to overtime, that was something really great to see. I mean, it's the number one team in the NFL right now they were able to hang with. So, I mean, that's really a fantastic showing for the team as a whole. Now, let me ask you, are you concerned at all about Lamar's ability to play an entire game, because he's four games in now as the starting QB, and two of those games he had to be taken out for medical reasons, whether it be concussion, this time it was an ankle, and we had to see RG3 come in and kind of take over. Are you concerned at all the fact that he's now, you know, 50-50 shot that he's going to be able to play an entire 60-minute game?
I'm concerned of the fact that, obviously, if you want to go as far as derailing the offensive game plan and the mojo that we have going, but I'm not that concerned because injuries happen in the NFL, and I'm not going to sit there and blame his running ability on getting hurt. I mean, seriously. I mean, yeah, a quarterback can't run. He's got to beef up. He's a skinny kid, and you just can't have your franchise or the future franchise quarterback running around, but injuries happen. I mean, you know, but I'm not – you're going to blame him running and getting hurt? I mean, Joe Flacco got hurt in the pocket. So, I mean, I'm not going to go down that road because injuries happen, dude. I mean, Flacco's got a hip injury, and did he run? Absolutely freaking not. So, I rest my case on that, man. I just don't want to get started on that path. But I am concerned as the fact that, you know, you don't want this type of injury to really be that, like, okay, well, now Joe's hurt, now Lamar's hurt, now we're down to RG3, and then, okay, and then the hopes of the playoffs rest on RG3. We only saw a little snippet, but RG3 put a great ball on Snead. Now, Snead, obviously, we can make a case for, and he even felt pass interference, but I feel like, and Harbaugh alluded to this past week, where the Ravens have a good problem to have, right? You know, They have three starting caliber starting caliber quarterbacks on the roster where any one of them can start, and they all three bring different things to the table. But as far as like injuries and all that, you don't want to see any players get hurt, but they happen. I think Lamar will be in there, but it's going to be interesting this week because Flacco is going to be active or should be activated and should be clear to go. So the whole question remains, again, for another whole week here, do you go Joe? Do you go Lamar? What say you, Brandon? If Flacco's obviously got the big green light here, do you go the one Joe Flacco and obviously him ride out his time here in Baltimore, or do you say thanks but no thanks? We're gonna start this Lamar wave and get him some of that valuable experience. What do you think?
I mean, I definitely want to see Joe Flacco back on the field, especially if he is 100%. They've given him enough time to rest it out, and then he's going to be up against the Buccaneers. My big question is, why can't they have both guys out there? I'm not on every play, but like splitting the throws or the plays at least, because you know, we've seen it where you put Joe Flacco out to wide receiver, and then they try these little trick plays, and it didn't work. It's not going to work anymore. It's not going to work at all. But, you know, we've seen four games of Lamar. I feel as if the Bucs and the rest of the teams going forward, they've now got some tape on the kid, so they're going to know some of his weaknesses and things to go after. So why not split the reps? You know, when you want to throw the long ball or something like that, you put Joe out there. When you want to throw, you know, a short pass or you want to run with the ball, get Lamar out there and give them some options. You know, I think if they could split it, it would give the team a better chance of winning, because I don't want to see Joe just sitting on the sidelines doing nothing. I mean, he's still got talent. He's still a veteran. Yeah, it's been a rocky road since the last Super Bowl that the Ravens were in, but he's still got talent, and he still can provide something for this team.
And you bring up all good points, and the thing about it is you know, he's still Joe. He's still the veteran. He's still proven. But and I put it out there earlier today, and it was an interesting notion. At one point, does everybody think that – because here's the thing. I'm getting real frustrated with – I don't know if anybody senses it, but it's coming to a head where I'm getting real frustrated with this whole quarterback controversy, you would say, because you're comparing a rookie to 11-year veteran who's won a Super Bowl. Like, it's unfair. And then don't get me wrong, because then if you're going to go that route, then we're going to start comparing Joe Flacco to the Hall of Famers. And then everybody says, you can't put them two in the same sentence. Get that out of your mouth. Well, Lamar Jackson is a rookie. He's played 4 games in the NFL as a starter. Joe Flacco has all these career games, 11 years. He's missed half a season, and that's it. So, I mean, it's unfair. And they're both different skill sets. One's a run, you know, the finesse runner passer, Joe Flacco. You know, at some point, what I want to bring to the table and what I shared a lot of information today is a lot of people think this offense was lighting the world on fire. They weren't, pre-injury and pre-Lamar enter in by the fate of the injury. The Ravens were 4-5 on the hinges of a 3-game losing streak as the last game is Joe Flacco threw not 1, not 2, not 3, not 4, not 5, not 6, not 7 touchdowns, but a 0. Fat 0 touchdown. He threw 0 touchdowns. He threw 0 touchdowns in Cleveland. He threw 0 touchdowns against the Steelers. I broke it down. There's positives here. I'll go to the positives first. Joe Flacco has what? He had a little over 2,400 yards this season, all right? He was on pace, and I say that lately because you never know. He was on pace to hit his first 4,000 season or 4,000 passing yard season, right? Impressive, right?
Yeah. Right?
So, yeah, we haven't seen it here. So, but here's the negatives. Measly 12 touchdowns, 6 interceptions through 9 games. I tweeted out earlier, put it on Facebook. Averages out to 1.3 touchdowns per game passing. And you're going to sit there and tell me that Joe Flacco has the, you know, it provides this offense with a better spark of passing. I don't think so. Because Lamar, in 4 games, has 1 touchdown passing per game average because in only 4 games. And actually, no, if you take all his touchdowns, even rushing, because obviously Joe Flacco doesn't account for rushing touchdowns, Lamar does. So if you take all Lamar's touchdowns into a factor, he averages 1 a game in 4 games. So, and that's Lamar's responsibility. So it's not the rushing game. It's not the defensive touchdowns. It's our special teams. So to me, it's like I see if we had a Tom Brady, if we had a Drew Brees. If Tom Brady goes down, let's say the Ravens got Tom Brady, okay?
Okay.
Or Drew Brees. He goes down with the same hip injury. Lamar comes in and balls out and goes 3-1. You're going to sit there and say, okay, well, should we go back to Brady or should we go back to Lamar? It's no question because it's Tom Brady. Because of what they bring to the table, and they're probably going to – it wouldn't be a discussion here, and I would be all on board if Joe Flacco had 25 touchdowns and 4 interceptions in 9 games and 3,000 yards, and he got hurt. Oh, he's letting the world on fire, and we need him. Because obviously, even if Lamar did go 3-1 in his absence, we would need Joe Flacco back because he has the best option. But 12 touchdowns and 6 interceptions isn't breaking down barriers, isn't getting him in the Pro Bowl. It isn't doing anything. This offense wasn't going to go anywhere, and it wasn't going anywhere with him. Not saying, okay, it's better off without him, but because of what's working, I hate to say it, you're right. It's going to be awkward if he's active. You just don't want to see Joe standing on the sideline. It's a crazy discussion to have, but I see the case for Flacco. I'm not saying don't start Flacco. I feel like obviously Flacco is the best quarterback on the roster. He is, but it's just to me, his statistics doesn't back up for what everybody keeps claiming. Like, I feel like everybody's praising him like he was an elite quarterback this year, and I'm like, 12 touchdowns in 9 games. What's the average? It's 1.3. Do the math. It's 1.3 touchdowns per game. Wasn't killing it. So yardage was there, but he wasn't killing it in the touchdown department, and with the lack of running game, it was even worse because we couldn't move the ball. and the defense was tired. There's a lot at stake there, and it just kept going on and on. So 3-1 is a lot better than 4-5. I mean, you need more of a sample size for Lamar to really compare it to that. 4-9 games is a big drop off. It's a little over half. So I don't know how you average. Yeah, 4.5 games. Yeah, so a little less than half. But that's just the way I see it, Brandon. I mean, I agree with you there. If healthy, should be in there. But it's just, again, with the 3-1 record in 4 games, and I look at it this way, man, even going back on our shows, not to say it was morbid, but this team, did you feel like going back after covering the Steelers' loss, even with the Flacco injury, you knew maybe Lamar was coming in after the bye week, even if we knew all that during the bye week, did you have a feeling at that point in time that the Ravens season was over, that we're starting a rookie quarterback and this team was not going to make the playoffs?
Yeah, absolutely I did. I really thought that this was it.
Yeah, everybody did, including me. Now, Joe Flacco's healing and getting healthy. Now, all of a sudden, the Ravens went on a 3-game winning streak. The Steelers on a 3-game losing streak. And it would have happened, obviously, if Joe was in or not. The Steelers losing, obviously. That was big. And you're going to sit there and tell me that Joe Flacco provides us the best option for the playoffs. Yeah, I want January Joe back as much as anybody. But, again, it's 6 touchdowns. It's 12 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, not really doing anything on offense or as a whole. I'm not just calling out him, but as a whole. Like, running game was – you can't sit there and tell me we were almost dead last in rushing and all of a sudden we're in the top, like, 5th or 7th percentile in the league all of a sudden in 4 games. It's not a coincidence. Like, it just – it doesn't happen.
You've got to put Alex Collins getting hurt into that equation as well.
Exactly, and then he wasn't doing it either, even as healthy. I mean, he had the touchdowns on the board, but they were all like, and I even alluded to this in a few shows ago. They're all then quick touchdowns, like inside the 10, inside the 5. He wasn't doing a Derrick Henry 99-yard touchdown or Lamar Miller 90-yard, Adrian Peterson's old as dirt, and he ran his longest touchdown run in his career this year at 90 yards. So you can't sit there and tell me that the Redskins' line's better than the Ravens and Adrian Peterson's better than Alex Collins. I mean, Adrian Peterson's a Hall of Famer, but he's old. And it's just like I'm saying, it's just, again, like, it's just I've been there. I've seen this team on the road. I've seen this team in person. And it just – I did not feel good. Obviously, and I felt even worse when Flacco went down with injury. Oh, there's a season. But, again, I would give you everything I got if he was beating the doors down, throwing touchdowns left to right, having a MVP season like Carson Wentz was last year. But he wasn't. And it's just it's like, I'm sorry, but I'm not. But it just really sucks because we got to talk about it. It's there. And then here's the other side of the coin, man, is – Joe Flacco is due $27 million next year. He's probably not going to be on the team. The team's not going to owe him that. So it's like, okay, do you just throw him out there? We have 3 games left this year. Do you just throw him out there to save face? Or do you say, okay, I'm surprised he's not on IR, to be honest with you, and I'll be all, because that's, I feel like, the way it should go. But and just say, hey, we're going to get Lamar valuable experience, and we're going to ride the ship whether we, you know, go down and miss the playoffs or make it, and we're going to ride a rookie. We drafted him, and that's that. But – and then the other side is, I feel like they're wasting $24 million because if they do, you know, keep him on the bench, you're owing somebody $24 million against the cap that you're not paying. But it's a lot. You can play both sides, make a case for Lamar, make a case for Joe. I feel like we're at court here. Like, everybody's got the – it's like the defensive plaintiff here. Like, okay, Lamar's going against – it's like Lamar versus Joe. It's weird. I hate this. And John, the owner of Jimmy Seafood, put that out there too. He said – you know, he feels like everybody's divided, like Raven Nation's divided, and everybody's debating and this and that. I'm like, it's not that hard. You should be enjoying the wins. We're 3-1. The Ravens are a half game out of first place, and if all goes according to plan by 8 o'clock this weekend, they could be in first place. They're currently holding the 6th seed in the wild card with all the tiebreakers, even after losing. You got to enjoy the ride, and that's all because of the winning they've been doing and taking care of business. And I don't care if Lamar's in or Joe's in. You gotta. I just don't understand why people are so against this whole Lamar thing. I don't understand it. It's like he enters in, he's winning games, and it's like they all hate him. Like I just don't get it. I mean, again, it's on record. Look in the call vault. How many times we sat here, me and you both, and defended Joe Flacco, and all the world's like, "Oh,
Joe Flacco sucks, fire Joe. I can't wait till the Joe Flacco era's over. And I'm sitting here telling you, like, oh, he's 23rd on the list all time in passing yards. And, oh, my God, he tied Joe Montana for the best postseason run, even though that was so long ago. You know, I keep throwing all the stuff up, trying to defend him. And then that's just like, like I said, I think I reached my wit's end when I was in the stadium and he missed not one but two wide open reads. And I saw it live and I about broke my hand slamming the chair in front of me. And I said, that's it. I can't take it anymore. That's my breaking point. You all can get on the Flacco train. I'm choosing it as my breaking point. I had it. 11-year veteran can't miss that. And it's almost like I can't forgive him for it. But when it was a one-score game and it basically could have put us in first place right now, it's just – I feel like that's just – it's just that much more of a case than I'm just like – it just makes me sick. You can't look around. You go, oh, if I feel like he's 11-year vet, can't read a defense. Again, I don't know – what he's about. I don't know what it's like to be an NFL quarterback, but just looking at what I see the results, I feel like his awareness is down. It's just a lot. And Lamar's not even no better. I mean, obviously he's got a hole in the football, his awareness is down, but he's a rookie. You know, he's allowed to make those mistakes. Joe Flacco, I expect a lot better than that. So it's just, I think the expectations for Flacco are so high and he's not performing. It's just, I think we're all fed up. And I think that's where you're getting the people siding with Lamar, then the people who, oh, I don't want the rookie. I don't like him running. I don't like him throwing. So they want Flacco. You're entitled to that opinion. I'm not putting you down for it. But when you don't have any stats to back up your claims, I'm just saying your opinions are flawed. I'm not saying you not have a right to it. I don't want to argue with people here. We're all Ravens fans, man. We're all friends. You listen to the show. I'm not putting anybody down. You're entitled to that. So I'll put that out there. If it seems like I'm attacking somebody personally, I'm not. It's just, don't sit there and tell me that Joe Flacco's awesome. He had 12 touchdowns and 6 interceptions. That's not awesome. There's a lot of quarterbacks in this league that had way better stats than that through 9 games before he got hurt, and I can list off a lot of them. So don't even sit there and tell me he was killing it. And that's what I'm trying to point out is he wasn't. Other than the yardage, he wasn't. So, again, I rest my case, but that's just how I feel about it. But it remains to be seen. I'm glad I don't have to make that decision. I'm riding the ship, man. I ride or die with this team. If Harbaugh wants to put Flacco in, great. I'm going to root hard. Go, Joe. Go through 4 touchdowns. That's when it's the game. If Lamar's in, I'm going to believe in the kid. I told my buddy Chris, I'm at the point to where I'm tired of breaking down the X's and O's, and I'm going to be a real all-in fan now. Not that I wasn't, right? But, I'm just going to enjoy the moment. Like, you can all argue about Lamar versus Joe. I'm going to say, hey, my team's half game out of first place and 6th seat currently in the playoffs, and I got season tickets. I'm going to enjoy every ride of it, so you all can have at it. We have 3 games left, and I'm going to enjoy it. That's where I'm at now. I'm kind of savoring the moment. But in getting off of that, I obviously want to break down the nuts and bolts of the Chiefs game that really closed out the back end of the show. But I really have to say this, though. Wasn't it a wacky NFL weekend before we even get to the Chiefs? Because there's a lot of plays that happened in the Chiefs game that was wacky, but just the overall NFL this weekend, man. Like, the Patriots game and the Steelers game. Oh, my goodness, man. Like, I told my coworkers, there's Eagles fans, they lost. There's Patriots fans in our office. There's Steelers fans and Ravens fans. We all lost. So we're all in the losing pool together this weekend, other than the Cowboys fans at work, but it remains to be seen. But I've always joked. I said, because we lost, we brought everything down with us. But nothing changed, man. And that's why you have to get excited. The landscape did not change with the outcome, which is you have to. Again, didn't the Steelers loss make you feel a little bit better?
I did feel pretty good seeing the Steelers lose, but I mean, it's been a crazy season for the NFL. We've had so many games go to overtime. We've had so many games go to a tie, which I don't remember this many overtime games, this many tying games. It's like watching hockey. Like, I don't know, are we going to have field goals instead of shootouts to figure out how to end a game? But one thing that really kind of was hard to understand is I still am kind of confused about, like, the overtime rules, because it's the, you know, if you get a field goal, then you keep going. You can only get beat by a touchdown. If it's another field goal, then it ties, then you keep going. I mean, the rules for overtime for the NFL are so convoluted. No wonder, you know, a couple of these games went to ties, because I don't think anyone could really figure out what was going on.
Absolutely, and it's just it's not only that, but then the refs don't even know what's going on out there. But you're right; it's the quality of the games, and everybody. I think it's the parity too. A lot of these games have been closely contested. No one's really doing that running away with the things. I mean, even it's like the Chiefs and Rams when they squared off. You're putting up 40 points. The other team's putting up 50. It's like they're trying to outdo you one better. No one's really running away with this thing, and I feel like even though. You know, the Saints have a big record and the Chiefs are 11-2. I don't think anybody's beating the doors down. I think everybody's beatable and the Ravens hung with them. So if you want to talk moral victories, I mean, look, Brandon, I mean, and I said this again, you know, the Ravens played the Saints at home, the Chiefs away. How close were those games?
All the games, everything has been so close this year.
Absolutely, and the Ravens. My point is, the Ravens took the they could have went to overtime against the Saints, and obviously one was with Flacco, one was Lamar. They took the Saints nearly to the brink. They did take the Chiefs to the brink, and you're telling me that the Saints and the Chiefs can technically could meet the Super Bowl this year, and the Ravens lost to those two teams by a combined 4 points, 1 point by the Saints, and lost by 3 points to the Chiefs, but. But then they get waxed by the Panthers, who are pretty much on the outside looking in the playoff picture right now. So you can't sit there and tell me that, you know, there's no hope or there's no parity. Just because you have 11-2 record, it's just like fantasy football. You know, how many one seeds I see go down this weekend? You know, same thing. I don't care what your record is. You could be 10-3, 11-2 in fantasy. You go against a bad matchup. Again, fantasy reality, way too different things. But my point is, it don't matter your record. How many times? The Ravens, how many Giants did they topple in the playoffs to get to where they did for the championships? This is because you have the record. You got to play in that one game playoff. Anything can happen. Lock the doors, throw away the key, shut the gates, whatever you got to do. You ain't getting out. So you got to play. So I feel like if the Ravens were to get in and go to Arrowhead again, hey, you know, they probably would get them this time. You know, they'll get, you know, they're due. And I just feel like. A lot of bad things happen. A lot of good things happen. But, you know, you're getting away from Lamar. And my whole point with, like, the turnovers and all that, stop focusing on that. Because if the Ravens would have won, no one would have gave a crap about Lamar's fumbles. And that's what I'm trying to help people understand is because they lose, everybody, you know how it is. They go right to the negatives. But to me, Lamar did everything like Joe Flacco did in a lot of those playoff games before, or a lot of those big regular season games. Joe did his due. Joe Flacco's performance, and remember the Christmas night game? We can never forget that, right?
Right.
This had the same stink of it, of that Christmas night game in Pittsburgh. Lamar did the same thing Joe Flacco did, and don't you dare tell me he didn't. He led the team down the field with the go-ahead touchdown pass, okay? The Ravens were up 4 in that game. The Ravens were up 7 in this game, okay? But both things happen, and again, it was a different outcome, obviously, overtime, but you had a little couple more chances, but same thing. The Ravens let the Steelers go right down the field and get the touchdown. Lamar, Joe Flacco wasn't on the field doing that. Joe Flacco did his point. He did his job. He got the team down the field, threw the pass to Juszczyk. He crossed the goal line. Jimmy's Famous Seafood was going crazy. Me and you were going crazy. Oh, my God, we're going to beat the Steelers on Christmas night. What a Christmas. And then it got ruined because defense couldn't make plays. What happened this past Sunday? Yeah, Lamar throws a pitch touchdown to John Brown, and I back came out of my body. I was like, are you kidding me? Lamar Jackson just threw a go-ahead touchdown pass late in the fourth quarter in Arrowhead Stadium. Oh, my God, I can't wait till everybody eats the Raven. I'm going to shove it right down their throat. But I wasn't getting on my high horse because, again, the game wasn't over. I didn't go to Twitter. I didn't get excited because the game is not over. Defense was on the field, and look what happened. You're telling me that defense on 4th and 9 cannot cover the best player in the field hobbled. He wasn't healthy. The dude should have been knocked out of the game, hobbled. That was another Tyler Boyd. I'm surprised that Hill didn't take the ball and score. Like, so don't sit there telling me, oh, it's Lamar's fault. He's got to take care of the football. Of course he's got to take care of the football, Joe Flacco included. Everybody's got to take care of the football. Tell me Joe Flacco didn't fumble or throw picks. He had 6 of them through 9 games. So, you know, yeah, Lamar's got to hold on the football, but that's got to what happened. So, but the defense, again, 2 fourth down stops didn't make it. And again, and another fumble, you know, talk about fumbles, even though the Chiefs recovered it, Mahomes basically dropped the ball, just flat out dropped it, and the defense didn't make a play when they did. And again, you know, you have to allude to it. Mahomes, freak athlete, Hill, freak athlete, you throw across the field, but those kind of balls, any big elite defense eats them up. But you tell me you can't put a body on Hill, and maybe it could be the league, the way it is with the pass interference calls, and they don't want to do illegal contact or pull him or get around him. But, you know, I'm not going to go making excuses for the NFL and their stupid rules, but don't sit there and tell me that was the offense's fault when they put Lamar loaded him right down the field, put him up seven, the special teams put him in place. No, they executed. You know, the offense got an A for me in this game, and the defense, a big fat F. They failed it. And you know, I mean, yeah, Lamar touched the ball in overtime, and they could have done it, but, you know, again, it's too little too late for that. And I know the freak ending with the missed field goal and all that, it was crazy, but it's a great game. Great game from a football standpoint. You want to take your Ravens biasism out of it. You know, I enjoyed it. You know, it was an exciting game. Kept me on the edge of my seat instead of sitting there. Because I remember when we got blown out against the Panthers, I had to sit there and I was just like, ho-hum afternoon. It sucked. But this game, it was exciting. So, and I've always said, I'll take a loss when it's competitive like this. I don't like losing when we lose by 20 and 30 points. It sucks. But I don't like losing, period. But my point is, make it competitive. But, hey, they made plays and the Ravens didn't on defense. They didn't execute. And could be a lack of playmakers on the defense, not necessarily offense, but nah. And my point exactly with CJ Mosley not being able to cover. Come on, dude, you gotta make that play. You want to get paid, you gotta make that play. But this is on the defense alone. Offense did their part, but hey, you lose and win as a team, so you can sit there and always blame a part. But just like with Tyler Boyd taking it to the house against the Ravens on New Year's Eve last year, it seems like these holidays always get to us, man. With that, it's just that's the way I look at it, man. Ravens weren't offense wasn't on the field trying to – it wasn't like Lamar was trying to lead him down the field to get the game-winning score and he threw an interception. Then I can see you getting on his case, but, dude, lay off. He balled out, give him his due, stop being ignorant, stop being on the Flacco train and give the credit his due and give the Ravens their due. They barely lost that game. And, you know, they hold the position in their hands. The Steelers have a way harder schedule. And right now, and the Ravens can really do some damage here. So just enjoy it. You know, I don't care who's a quarterback, dude. Just enjoy it, man. Because look at the Redskins. They're on their, what, fifth-string quarterback? Dude, they had Mark Sanchez and he got hurt. I mean, count thy blessings, people. Enjoy the ride. I don't care. Just enjoy it, please. Phew.
Now, I do want to talk a little bit about the defense. You know, we've seen this defense before. Eric Weddle said it, not your same Ravens, but we definitely have seen the Ravens defense give up a big play on something like 4th and 9 like they did against the Chiefs. And we've seen it on Christmas Day. We saw it on New Year's Eve last year. I got to ask you something. I like the guy on a personal level. I like what he does as a veteran. I think once he does retire from being on the field, he's going to be a fantastic coach, and I hope the Ravens get him as a coach. But is Eric Weddle more of a detriment to this team than he is an asset? Because he seems to be on the field and not being able to get the job done later in the games when all these big plays are happening and the Ravens defense have to put a stop to it. It seems as if Eric Weddle is always on the field and is always there. Maybe not to take the blame, but he's having a rough time making those big plays when they're necessary at the end of a game. It's I don't want to say it's his fault completely. Like you said, C.J. Mosley, you know, missed a play. Tony Jefferson hasn't been fantastic since he's been with the Ravens. But I don't know. I kind of feel like Eric Weddle might. His playing days may be behind him because he just doesn't seem like he can keep up towards the end of a game.
Great point, man. And I love the Victory Sundays. When I'm talking about Victory Sundays, I'm really talking about ice cream. You know, I love the beard, the not beard, the mohawk, the competitive nature in Weddle. But you brought it up, and I definitely going to have to agree with you, bro. Liability. That's why I was talking about Mosley and all that. Eric Weddle's got to make that play. Make the play. Don't sit there and make excuses. I think Mike Preston tweeted that. He said, why does Weddle look like a statue or always look like a statue? He doesn't – to me, he's lost that edge like he had in when he was at the Chargers. You know, I haven't seen that Weddle-like ability in the safety position. The safeties have been a big liability since Ed Reed left. Obviously, why? When you have a Hall of Famer like that, come on. You know, somebody, you know, give me an amen on that. But, you know, it's a given. You haven't ever, you know – leave like that, and we had Bernard Pollard here for a stint. And when you don't have that, it shows in the back end of the playmaking ability. And it could be – and I believe he was to blame for lapse in coverage. I mean, the whole defense as a whole, obviously. They were on the field. But, you know, he was out there with Tyler Boyd, and I felt like he was out of place on that play. You know, but the same thing can be said on any play. I mean, hey, remember the Maha Miracle for us? The Broncos player was out of place, and everything had to happen at a precise moment, and it did. You know, that play happened. So you can say coulda, woulda, shoulda on any of those kind of plays in NFL history. But, yeah, I just feel like Eric Weddle's definitely been a liability. I'm glad that you see it and you called it out. I wasn't going to be so rough on him, but because if I really want to dissect the defense, you can point out any flaw, you know, coverages and schemes. But yeah, Eric White on the back end, especially when he's calling the plays, I think he's got the signal calling ability, right? For the defense, he's got the mic.
I know he took it over when CJ Mosley was hurt earlier this year. I don't know if he still has it.
Yeah, I would have to look at the game film. I don't know if he's got that green dot on his helmet. But I know for the time being, I feel like he's still doing that. So for as far as communication, and he wants to be the leader out there, you really have to pay attention and make plays. But he didn't come up and make that play. He was standing right there. But you know what's kind of funny, though? It's kind of full circle. He was in on that play for 4th and 29 on Ray Rice, and he got blasted by Anquan Boldin.
That's right.
So, yeah. So, and oddly enough, I actually have that. I have him and Ray Rice on the same mini helmet. So, for remembrance of that play. So, it's a pretty special moment for me. But it's just like I said, hey, he's been in those type of situations before. 4th and 29 didn't make plays for the Chargers, and he's made some plays here. I mean, hey, he's got a pick. He had the pick six last year against the Lions. I mean, he's got some plays, but you know, we missed that. And that's another thing I think it gets lost in the sauce here, man, is the Ravens actually had their first interception in like over 200 pass attempts against them in 6 games, I believe. You know, they got an interception, finally. So, and that was another thing that was great. They forced a turnover, but too little, too late. It was a great turning point in that time because that's when the Ravens themselves, you know, were looking for that answer and they got it. So, but yeah, man, Eric Weddle, it's definitely a liability. It showed, didn't make a play because he was standing right there. You can't put a body in him. I swear Eric Weddle's probably bigger and more physical than Tyreek Hill, dude. Come on. So, you can't let the best player on the field, I mean, and this is uncharacteristic from a team who manhandled Matt Ryan and Julio Jones and put them right in their rightful places. Did they not? And then Julio Jones comes out of nowhere this past weekend, goes gangbusters for 2 touchdowns, and they look like world beaters. But then, and then you can't sit there and cover the best player on the field when the game's on the line. Like, look, it wasn't A.J. Green who caught the ball against the Ravens. It was Tyler freaking Boyd, man. So it's I've seen too many of these plays. You know, 4th and 12. You know, letting Antonio Brown extend the. How many times is our season going to end on a defensive note? You know, you can sit there and preach Joe Flacco versus Lamar you want, but we don't have an offensive problem. We actually have a defensive problem right now, and it's alarming if it continues because it's going to cost us some football games. Because they've been on the field last a lot. Don't know if you realize that, but they're on the field last a lot. I know they weren't on the field last against the Saints. Obviously, a crazy missed extra point, and the Ravens are in overtime, but. Hey, they did give up 17 points at home when they're up 17-7, and I sat there and saw it. So we might have a defensive problem.
Yeah, this is far from a perfect team on any side of the ball. So I mean, it's kind of we'll see what happens in the future. We'll be back on Purple Friday to dissect the next game up against the Bucks. But for this Red Eye review, Josh, have we covered everything?
Covered everything. Quote the Raven, nevermore.
All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. And Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always at ItalianGQ52.
All right, go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. Make sure you write us an Apple Podcast review and let people know about us. You know, the show is available on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. So let people know. know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Vero and Twitch, anywhere you're social on the web with your phone. Say I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call, and you should too. So that is pretty much it for the Red Eye Review this week. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, man, thank you so much, man. And I wanted to ask you, are you in a full-fledged Christmas mode or what?
I am in full-fledged Christmas mode. That's why I don't know what podcast I'm doing right now. I watch a game while I'm wrapping presents or doing other Christmas things. I mean, I had a Christmas or a holiday party at work today, so that was fun. That's like, I think I had one last week. I got another one next week. Oh, man, it is all Christmas all the time here.
All Christmas all the time, man. It's one of my favorite times of year, man. I love this time of year. You know, getting together with friends and family and enjoying the festive times. And maybe we can get back to a Festivus Maximus atmosphere around here, right?
I like that. You I have my front yard. You know, of course I got my front yard decorated and
you
everything.
You decorate all every seat. I love it. Every holiday. It's great. It's like the main attraction over there in whatever area you're in. Like East Baltimore?
Yeah. Northeast Baltimore, something like that.
Northeast Baltimore. There it is. East Baltimore.
But
I afraid where you come from, man. Come on.
That's right. That's right. But the newest thing I got this year is I have a projector that goes through the front window. So you put a screen up in the front window, projector goes through it, and it had like some preloaded stuff like Santa and like walking around, opening up or like putting a present under the tree. I was like, you know what? I bet you I could put Christmas specials on like a flash drive or a thumb drive and play it through the projector. So that's what I've been doing this year, is like every couple nights I switch it up from like Rudolph to Frosty, Santa Claus is Coming to Town, some Disney stuff. If we're doing Festivus Maximus, you gotta bet your bottom dollar that I will be showing the two Super Bowls through my front window as we prep through the playoffs for the Ravens. So I did this when the Capitals were in the Stanley Cup. I showed the Winter Classic through my front window. I'll definitely be doing it for the Ravens once they hit the playoffs.
Yeah, man. So it's always a good time, man. You always do it up. I appreciate the enthusiasm. It's like Roosevelt Jr. I love it. But always something going on over there at that house. I love it. But always something going on in Ravens Nation. And believe it or not, it's always something to talk about around here. Quarterback controversy, not making plays on defense. Offense doing this, doing that, not doing this. This penalty costs us. There's always something going on. Hey, and it's great. It makes for great entertainment, great theater. But hey, you gotta enjoy the moment. That's what I'm keep saying is, yes, the Ravens left one on the table. How many times is we can count through the season they do that? But you know, woulda, shoulda, coulda. It could happen to any team, anytime, anywhere. But you have to feel special and good about what this team accomplished in a loss. You know, yeah, loss is a loss. Oh, it didn't win the game. Who cares? That's fine. It's your opinion. You're right. You do what you want. I choose to look at it as, hey, glass half full. They took the best team in the AFC to the brink. Should have beat them. And in my heart, I feel like they did. They let one slip away. Is that the whole Dennis Green? We let them off the hook. We thought who they thought they were. That's exactly what it was. You had them. They made the plays and we didn't. You have to hand it to them. We did it to the Broncos, Mahi Miracle. Hey, you know, and this time we get on that end. So, but you got to put your head up because, hey, the Raiders did us a favor, knocked off the Steelers, thank goodness. And, hey, the landscape didn't change. I've been trying to preach to you that. The Ravens lost for 7-6, one game above 500, but they're a half game out of first place with three games to go. The Steelers have a harder schedule. The Ravens easier. They have two home games out of three going the road. Feel like they can take it to the Chargers in 2 weeks. We still got the Bucs to deal with. Not looking ahead to that too much. But, hey, it's going to come all to a big ending here in the season because a lot of big games have to be played here. And the Ravens control their own destiny. I don't care who's your quarterback. Enjoy the moment. They're not out of it. You know, because of a loss, they still hold all the tiebreakers in the AFC. It's only their fourth AFC loss. They're 6-4 in the AFC overall, but they hold those wins. They have six wins above everybody else in the AFC. They hold the tiebreakers of all the 7-6 teams right now, Dolphins included. Hey, the Patriots lost in a crazy way. The Miami Miracle. See, hey, could have lost like that. How about trying to cover that, Brandon? I don't want to be on Patriots podcast or Patriots radio this week because that's flat embarrassing. when you let a lateral happen like that all the way down the field and lose the game, hey, I don't care who you are, but I'm happy it happened to the Patriots. That was pretty fun to see. But the Ravens have work to do, because look at this. The Steelers and Patriots play each other on Sunday afternoon after the Ravens game. And I tell you what, you got to root for the Patriots. Hate to say, but hey, Ravens take care of business at 1. By 4 o'clock, they could have that 8th win. The Steelers could have a 6th loss. And with that, the Ravens could be in first place by dinner time on Sunday night. And we could be going to bed happy and wake up Monday morning going to chest high. Go, how about them Ravens, huh? You're going to forget all about the Chiefs loss. It's already done with. It can't change the outcome. We can dissect it, break it down. Let's move on. We got 3 to play. Enjoy the moment. Breathe. It's going to be okay. Hey, at least Harbaugh's got the hardest job in Baltimore. Got to sort out this quarterback mess. We're all along here for the ride at the call, enjoying every moment of it, breaking all the drama down here in Charm City. And with that being said this week, Baltimore Ravens, why don't we do us a favor? Let's fly high after this loss.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at baltimoresportsreport.com.